everybody. Welcome to a Thursday Sports Line, the Bulldog Hour. Kevin Murray alongside. We'll take you to three, hand it off to our good friend Phil Benanti's fine show. We'll take you to 6 o'clock tonight with Behind the Bench, and always on a Thursday at Fashion Furnace with our good friend Rad Avidiki. And again, the great conversation of Phil's show. Best furniture on the planet, terrific eats as well when Phil is around. So stop by El Paso across from River Park tonight between 3 and 6 for that. And also, you know, always give Phil a call on the Lee's Air Hotline, which is 559-320-1430. For us, Matt Norville, alongside to talk basketball, and with our rare opportunities to have back-to-back basketball conversations this time of year, because tomorrow Jackson back with me to talk football, and then it's going to be, except for Ferdy jumping in whenever we have availability to update basketball, it's going to be all about Fresno State football, getting ready, of course, for August 23 in Lawrence, Kansas. Matter of fact, along those lines, I want to remind you that our good friend Ed Dunkel will have the Fine Engineering Yardage fundraiser again for football. Again, we've mentioned this for the last 4 years, and has been able to donate through the Lyles College of Engineering to benefit students there as the Bulldogs Engineering Yardage was in place for yards gained through the air by the football team. We'll see about year number 5 coming up. Look forward to it. Again, we'll tell you all about Ed's business and also what Engineering Yardage is all about in specificity when we go over the contract or the schedules and everything coming forward for us on both stations. And I mentioned contract. I'm going to talk to Matt Norville in just a second about the media contracts and whether we have any updates at all in regard to what's going on between the Mountain West and, of course, the Pac-8 at the moment, as that continues to drag on. So it's one of the topics of conversation we'll have. But first, before we get started, in addition to everybody at Precision Civil Engineering, want to get a few minutes of time with our lead dogs as well, starting with our buddies at KFC. Again, local operators Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman, terrific local people. If you stop by those local KFCs, they have a terrific $7 Phillips deal going on right now. You can choose from crispy chicken, tasty tenders, or the classic famous bowl. Each will come with a drink, sides, and even sweet pie poppers. It's a great opportunity for you to stop in and get this special deal. Also, keep in mind, on Tuesdays, you have the $10 eight-piece bucket and tenders offer that's been around for a good long while. But the $7 Phillips for a limited time at the KFCs in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman. And you can always top everything off with the new Peaches and Cream Sweet Lightning Soda. If you stop by the local operators, tell them thanks for being part of the Bulldog Bread Collective. It is very, very important for Fresno State and something that we hope more terrific local businesses will join in. We mentioned Ed Dunkel, everything that he does for Fresno State Precision Civil Engineering. We'll talk about Joe Cruz, Stainless Superior Pipe and Stainless Supply in just a couple minutes, but the local KFCs as well. So these are all local businesses, in the case of KFC, an international and national entity whose local operators have jumped aboard to try to level the playing field at Fresno State, and we appreciate everything they do at KFC. So if you stop in, tell them thanks a lot for being part of the Bulldog Bread Collective, part of NIL monies for Fresno State. Other mentions, I mentioned Lee a few minutes ago, Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing. They bring you the Lee's Air Hotline, but also they allow us the time every day to tell you about the weather. Once again, terrific local people, been in the Central Valley since 1981, and they have got right now good news for you in regard to the stability of the forecast. I don't know that Lee's has great news the way it has been as far as the numbers topping out in the afternoon. We knew the triple digits would get here eventually. Nothing onerous, but it is going to be 102 today, 103 tomorrow, and then a couple of 104s on Saturday and Sunday. So the first time in a while we've gotten up this high temperature-wise. Then 103 Monday, and then we look at 102, a couple of hundreds, 101, and then down to 98 a week from Saturday. the lows are going to be in the 70s now, albeit low 70s. So it's not as cool as it's been, but it is still pretty good right now. So enjoy it if you're out there. Again, two provisos. One, of course, be careful around the waterways, particularly the rivers. And the other thing is the Gifford Fire and everything going on down in Santa Barbara, in San Luis Obispo. Those issues, which have been moving to the south, are evidently going to start moving back up the coast in the next couple of days, which means some of that smoke might find its way back onto the valley floor by the time we get to the weekend. We'll see what happens there. But by and large, this is more a seasonal forecast. Not great, but not bad either. And we thank everybody at Lee's for allowing us the time to bring you the weather. Again, leesair.com, 825-5337, or leesair.com on the web for more information. And also the Lee's Air hotline, 559-320-1430. That's how you can reach Phil during his show. The other reminder comes courtesy of Joe Cruz, Superior Pipe and Stainless Supply, celebrating their 25th anniversary in town. Joe has been a booster at Fresno State for the last three decades. A terrific guy, longtime friend, and longtime booster, of course, for Fresno State. And he has a great business, Superior Pipe and Stainless Supply. If you're someone who's working around a plant, if you're a maintenance worker, anybody around a boiler service, anything where you need a valve, if a valve goes down, it can be catastrophic to your business. And not only does Joe have terrific components there, pipe fittings, valves, sanitary fittings, food-grade chemical hoses, great suction hoses as well, top-quality product, but he can get to you on a same-day basis. So if you have a problem, contact him, 266-7473, which is 266-PIPE, or you can go to the web at superiorpipeusa.com, or Gabe has a direct email, gabe.sbs@gmail.com. If possible, if you can stop by 4529 North Marty Avenue in Town Suite 103, tell Joe what your issues are. He'll analyze your problems. He will do whatever he can, he and Gabe, there to solve them for you on a same-day basis. And if you have some time beyond that, he'll tell you what he does for Fresno State. And we'll tell you right now, the best avenue, go to the main website at GoBulldogs.com. There's a donate link there. Click on that, take you to different areas of donation. BulldogFoundation.org is there, Myers Champion Circle as well. Information for tickets and parking for all events on campus. Of course, Shakira at the stadium tonight. And you've also got under ways to give the individual sports clubs, taking care of a specific need you might have to give to a sport and making sure it gets to that sport and that sport only. Quarterback club for football, for instance, timeout club for men's basketball. Jack Furtick with me every week to talk basketball. Board of Directors Timeout Club. He has said you can call him directly on his cell, 559-287-3305, or FurtickJack@AOL.com. Dugout Club is there for baseball, other men's and women's sports as well, under ways to give. And then finally, mentioned earlier, the very important collective that is BulldogBread.com. Bread as in on the table, BREAD.com. Marcus McMarion wants to hear from you. Chris started the NIL collective, handed it off to Marcus, and again, you have everything under the roof of Fresno State now, but still it's separate entities. That $20.5 million you can give directly to student-athletes through the university, but also the NIL money, sponsorship monies are there, and it's very important that businesses like Superior Pipe and Stainless Supply, like Ed Dunkel Precision Civil Engineering, or like the local KFC operators in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman, jump aboard. So I hope we see more do that as well. Anybody who has an idea, any sponsorship thoughts, contact Marcus McMarion, BulldogBread.com. Anyway, thanks to everybody, including Lee's, for the Lee's Air Hotline, 320-1430. That's how we bring up guests like Matt Norville, and we'll do that right now. Matt, how you doing?
I'm good, Tony. How you doing?
I'm doing okay, Matt. It's been a hectic week, and it's good to have you aboard. And as I mentioned, and you know this already, we're trying everything we can to keep basketball at least in that secondary role this time of year, knowing that when we get to November or so, then Matt will be back with me full time. Jack Furtig will stay on, and we'll get both men's and women's basketball the publicity and the attention it deserves. Right now, of course, it's a battle for two reasons: football coming up and the fact that the Giants still have a number of afternoon weekday games. We're fortunate this week that we didn't have one, but next week and each week for the next 5 weeks, there's at least one time that the Giants will preempt this time slot. So I appreciate you jumping on today, and then we'll get to you as your schedule and ours allows. Matt, I want to start with something from yesterday before I ask you about the women's basketball program at Fresno State. Of course, Matt, voice of the women's program at Fresno State on the radio and TV as well, and also is there for given events on the men's side when Paul has scheduling issues. We've talked about this before. But yesterday, talking about the Kuminga situation, one of the things I did not address, Henry had sent in an email about it, Craig emailed today and asked about the fact that you have teams, NBA teams, promising not only money, that's one thing, but promising minutes and position and number of shots and all these things. And Matt, I'm wondering, and Craig wanted to know from your point of view, is that a dangerous thing to do at any level of basketball? The money's, I get it. But when you're starting to talk about guaranteeing somebody numbers of shots or position they're going to play or minutes they're going to play, aren't you begging for trouble doing that, not knowing how your team is going to unfold in quest of victory?
Yeah, you can beg for trouble. I will say this, that if you get a player who's extremely good, let's say they're going to be a star player, a lot of times you'll see a coach say, hey, you're going to have the green light. And what does that mean? It means you have unlimited shots. We're never going to question what kind of shot you take or when you take a shot. And that they'll usually give that to a guy or two on the team. And so, in a way, you can say that that's saying, hey, you're going to get so many shots. Minutes-wise, that's pretty common, honestly, in NBA, because what you'll get is you'll get the older veterans that will say, hey, I'm not trying to play so many minutes. And they'll be like, yeah, we're going to keep your minutes down. A younger player that might say, hey, we're going to have your minutes up. Position, even as well, they might say, hey, we want to play you in this, but that's not always a guarantee. But, yeah, it can definitely become an issue, as I said, if it's not the star player, because it's hard if they're not the star player to actually make that work. There's only five players on the floor at one time. There's one basketball. And games a lot of times will dictate things. Like, think about it in terms of the Warriors when it was Steph and Clay. If you said, Steph, you're going to always have 30 shots a game. Well, there's some games Steph's not going to get up 30 shots a game. Let's say they're defending him or Steph's in foul trouble or whatever. Then Clay gets a lot of shots and Steph's minutes go down. And then that means now the backup point guard is going to get more run and that guy was looking for more minutes. Now all of a sudden, let's say Steph's out of foul trouble. He's playing a lot. The backup point guard's not getting as many minutes. It can create for some things, but I think overall, I don't really see a problem with it per se. You just got to be careful how many people you're telling that to. And I think that's the big thing. Now, for in Kuminga's situation, that's exactly what he's looking for. He's looking for, as my college coach said, shots and minutes, man. That's what he's looking for, and he wants to try to, you know, have good numbers so that his next contract can be the big one. And that's exactly what Kuminga's looking for.
Well, I know this. The Kings have made a lot of promises already, but they can't, at the moment, find a way to make a deal for the sign-and-trade. My issue with it, Matt, I want to bring it to the college level right now because I know it's a cutthroat business right now of, as we've said, not only trying to retain players, but, of course, acquire them as well. My issue is if you have a team with huge turnover every year, which, as you and I have talked, appears to be mandatory at the collegiate game, at least the NBA, in fairness to Kuminga, yes, he's been impatient on the one hand. On the other, this is his fifth year coming around the bend, so I do understand, though he's a very young guy, why he's saying, you know what, I've paid my dues, I really want to be the best I can be, and it's not happening under this structure. At least he's been there a while. Frustrates the hell out of me, but I get it. collegiately, if you're going to have guys, as we've said, just, you know, not buying but renting, okay, how big a danger is it collegiately if you're making promises when you're bringing, if you're bringing 10 or 12 new faces in? How in the world can you possibly know, and what kind of conflict does that lead to, Matt, or at least potential conflict?
That has been going on since the beginning of time, Tony. Coaches in college promising you a starting position, playing time, shots, minutes, and not coming through, and that has been a big-time issue. The difference now is the transfer portal. I actually think if I'm a college coach, the portal helps you. If you're a coach and you want to be a liar, just be a liar. The kids are probably leaving at the end of the year anyway. If you're a coach and you want to be honest, be honest. The kids are probably leaving at the end of the year anyway. So I think that's kind of how I would take it. I personally wouldn't promise anything because you don't know what you've got. I think you know what returns, and you might say, hey, we're locked up in the point guard. We're locked up in the 2-3 guard spot, but we're really looking for a 4 and a 5. But I wouldn't promise shots and minutes because, especially at the college level, you don't really know game to game how it's going to go. In the NBA, I always say it's a little more structured, pretty much game to game, because you're playing 82 games. You try to kind of keep an eye on minutes, injuries. A lot of times teams already have mapped out who's getting a rest day here and there. College is not that at all. So I wouldn't promise that in college, and that can create issues in college because you could get someone on the bench that they were promised to be a starting guard or getting more time than they're getting, and then all of a sudden that can break up the locker room. I would worry about that more in college than I would in the NBA. So in college, I think that is a very dangerous game to play. Unless, let's be honest, Tony, you're going out, you're throwing a million at a guy, and you're saying, hey, you're going to be our guy, and we're going to give you the ball in the clutch, and we want you to average 20 points a game. Now, I don't see anything wrong with that. You're going to pay the guy $1 million. What else did you expect? You're not going to sit him on the bench. So I think you just got to be very careful, and you can't just promise these promises all the time where it becomes empty promises. But in the college game, man, you talk to college athletes, that story is around in every sport, and that's been going on long before the transfer portal and NIL, where coaches will say one thing and you show up and they do something completely different. Because you got to remember, some coaches, they just need you to sign. That doesn't mean anything. Some coaches are more honest than others, and that's one of the reasons why the transfer portal became such a big talking point, is because college athletes were also saying, hey, look, I was lied to when I came in, and now I can't get out of it. And so, yeah, that's a dangerous game to play, no doubt about it.
Well, and Matt, I agree. And towards your point there, it's where I was headed, is that while that was a common practice long ago and far away, because in many respects the player was held captive, I was just wondering whether in this day and age, as you referenced, you can afford to take that promise him anything approach when previously, if somebody were angry in 2025, for instance, if this were, let's say, 2005, okay, now you say, I'm upset. Well, guess what? In order to transfer out, if you want to go D1 to D1, you're going to have to sit the next year. So you're going to have to wait 24 months before you can play basketball again at your level if you're upset. Now you do not have to wait. So that's my deal, is in this kind of situation, can you really afford to be making those hollow promises? Even if that had been your MO previously, I would think you are really begging for trouble. And then if you get that reputation further, even though money may walk, talk, and do handsprings, you're sort of putting that scarlet letter on your program as far as recruiting, aren't you?
Yeah, that's the toughest thing, Tony, right there, is that if it gets out that you're just one of those coaches that says one thing and does something completely different, that hampers you. As far as the portal, I wouldn't worry about it, because the majority of teams lose a bunch of players every year. I think what was the number I heard last year? If you divided it out based on all Division I teams with all the players in the portal, it came out to 6 players a team were gone to the portal on average. 6 players a team, and that's not even counting graduation. So if you say a couple kids are seniors and they're done, so you're saying maybe you're losing 8 to 9 players a team on average, that's a huge number. And being honest isn't necessarily going to keep him more than not being honest. I just said me personally, I would be honest because I wouldn't want that out there, and that's not my personality. But if you feel as a coach that you know that that kid is going to start and play, then they're going to tell that kid you're going to start and play. The issue becomes is, Tony, if I'm recruiting you and I say, hey, look, if we get you, you're going to start and I'm going to give you all these shots. And then I go to someone else and say, if we get you, I'm going to start you and get all those shots. What if both those kids sign? That's where the issue comes in, because now they're not both going to get all those shots. And so that is where the coach maybe went in not actually lying, but they happen to get both kids, and they didn't think they were going to get both kids. They thought they might get one. But, yeah, it's a dangerous game to play, no doubt about it. And the other thing you got to remember, too, is all these kids have families, friends, agents, handlers, and they're going to be in their ear, too, saying, hey, look, you tried to go here. You trusted the coach. He lied to you. So, you know, there's no reason to be loyal to him. And then you could end up in a situation where, let's say, you said that to a couple of kids. They didn't get any playing time. You played another kid who did really good, and he's going to enter the portal because now he's outplayed his kind of contract, kind of deal that he's got. And then the other two leave, and now you're back to square zero. So, honestly, honesty is the best policy, and that's what you got to be careful with if you're going to promise that to kids. But like I said, a star player I have no problem with. It's that bench player. Don't overpromise.
Well, I'll tell you what. It's going to be interesting to see how the Kuminga thing plays out NBA-wise and how things play out for everybody in the newly formed pack, because it is going to be a difficult conference basketball-wise. It's already a very good conference, and I realize, as you and I have talked, that you're losing the New Mexicos of the world, but you are gaining already a Gonzaga, and goodness knows if you're going to get a St. Mary's, what have you. And you're going to have depth in order to succeed. And it'll be interesting to see when you're dealing with the tough environments at Colorado State, at Utah State, all of those teams that are very good, and you're trying to build something at the same time that you're trying to, again, acquire and retain. Either side, man, as I've asked you before, more difficult than the other right now? Is retention more difficult, as I asked before? Where are we at with this, or is it really a 50-50 right now between acquisition and retention?
I'd say it's a 50-50, honestly, because if you've got a kid that's in your system that produces, and this is one of the things that we've talked about before that I always caution the kid, is if you're producing in a system and you're playing really well, who's to say you don't go to another coach in another style and you're not able to do that? You already have the advantage of you've been there. The coach likes you. The coach knows you. You can be successful there. It's a dangerous game to play. Obviously, money talks. But, yeah, I think it's 50-50 in terms of acquiring and keeping, because, like we brought up before, let's say it costs $150,000 to keep it, that you paid a kid this season. And the kid, let's say, has a decent year. Nothing crazy, but just a decent year. You're going to have to come back with more money. I mean, even if the kid just, you go, well, he basically did what he did the year before, he's not going to want to stay at $150,000. So you're going to have to come back. And then now you go into the portal and you say, okay, I need that kid. Let's say he was just getting single-digit points, but he's giving you a double-digit rebound. Now you got to go into the portal and try to find that kid, and that kid might be demanding just what that kid was asking for, maybe a little less. And so I think it's just equal. I say that's why you need to release what the kids make. I think that just makes things a lot easier for, A, fans to follow, coaches to know what's real and not just what's talked about, because there's a lot of numbers getting thrown out there that aren't even real numbers. And then the kids will know. And so I can look at it and be like, yeah, you're not worth $300,000. Get out of here, man. This other person is making $350,000 and they're producing way more than you. I'm not giving you $300,000. And I just think it levels out the playing field a little bit more and has more transparency, and you will have a better idea as a fan. Right now, if I was to go to a fan and say, hey, what do you think it costs to get not a leading scorer, just your second leading scorer on the team that averages double digits? They would have no idea how much money it costs. You're probably looking at close to $1 million to get a kid like that. And honestly, you're probably looking at anywhere from $750,000 to $1 million to get a kid like that. That's how much it is on average.
But you're sitting there going, wait a second, that shouldn't be like that. But if you release the numbers, then you could see and be like, wow, that kid's getting that much. I just think it would help. But, yeah, to answer your question, it's 50-50 in terms of retention or going into the portal and trying to get somebody, because there's so many factors at play. But at the end, I mean, money does talk. And some of the guys that aren't going to be playing pro ball, this is their pro ball, so they're trying to make as much as possible, which you totally understand, by the way.
And that's why we've talked, if there is, for the college game, any silver lining, and you have to look real hard in a very dark sky to find that silver lining with all of this stuff going on, it is that certain players are opting to stay in college, not for academic reasons, but because they can make enough money, maybe more than their rookie contract is going to be, if they even make an NBA team, and maybe stuck in the G League, or maybe not even make either the NBA or the G League. So they are having, at least at certain levels of basketball, and maybe not the absolute upper echelon, but those secondary players that are playing D1 that have a chance of being second rounders or what have you in the NBA, that they're opting to stay. And so that helps in that regard. And I do want to ask you, Matt, because, again, it's going to be hit and miss with Matt until we get into basketball. And then as football wanes and basketball becomes front and center, we'll be able to talk every week about women's basketball, about softball, and everything throughout the rest of the calendar year. But for right now, what is your view of what we figure to see women's basketball-wise? A very successful coach coming in from another area. Is this going to be a very competitive team, or is it too early to tell right now?
Way too early to tell, Tony. Just honestly, it just is. You got a new coach coming into a new program, bringing a lot of his former players, going up a level from Division II to Division I. You just don't know. It's a lot of names on a paper. I would say no matter what, give him time. Be patient. That's what I've always said with any coach that's in their first year with a program, no matter where they're at, Fresno State, Boise State, I don't care. Just be patient and give them time. And for them to, A, see how a system goes, get used to the conference, get used to the travel, figure out things. And then by year two, we should be able to say, okay, here's what we expect and here's what's going down. But year one, give them time. He's got a couple of good players that he's bringing from the University of Alaska. Obviously, he's bringing back Avery Watkins, who I worked with, by the way, last week at the a basketball camp that Coach Jamie White did, along with Isaiah Hill and Steven Vasquez. Had a couple of men's guys helping out, too. And then, obviously, you have Vinay Powell and A.O., who redshirted last season. So those are the three returnees coming back for Fresno State. Everybody else is kind of new to the program. They're going to be up-tempo. They're going to play hard. They're going to be all about pressure defense. You're not going to see a young lady play 35 minutes a game. I think I was looking at their stats, Tony, and it's very interesting. Last season, they had nobody play more than 25 minutes a game. Only one player played 25, or I should say two players played 25 minutes plus. It was Mack, and then it was Reen. That was it. For Fresno State, their whole starting five averaged over 27 minutes a game. So it's going to be an entirely different viewpoint. You're going to see probably about 10 players deep. They're going to try to get up in you. The question I have is, which we've talked about, is will this style in modern-day basketball work at the Division I level? And that'll remain to be seen. You've got to have depth for it to work. And the big one that we haven't really talked about a lot, you've got to have health. If you're going to play that hard for as long of a season as it is, with the travel, with the practices that you're going to have to play that hard, is your team going to stay healthy enough that come March you're fresh enough that you can then play that style? The one positive is, come March, if a team's got to play you and it's the third game in 3 days and you're just doing that, their legs are going to be a little tired. You will have an advantage, but health will be the key and depth will be the key. But it is a little too early, I think, to tell. I was chatting with Avery last week about, you know, their workouts and how things are going. And you know, they're getting in great shape. I mean, she looks like she's in fantastic shape. They're running a lot. And it'll be an exciting and a fun time for Fresno State fans. But I do urge patience is the key. And like I always say, I just look for improvement as the year goes on. I won't really start judging the coaching staff until year two.
You and I have talked so often about up-tempo and crowd-pleasing pace of play. Vance is trying to get there on the men's side. We've cited the reasons why it has been, at least this first year, very trying for him to get there. Your level of confidence that you're going to see that pace of play that the coaching staff on the women's side would like to see. I mean, it's, when you look at the roster, you say, yeah, there's no doubt about it. And given the history, this coaching staff is going to push the pace no matter what.
Yeah, for the women's side you're talking about?
Yes. Yeah.
No doubt about it. He's going to push the pace. What I think will be interesting in the short conversation that I had with him is obviously that's his style of play and that's what he wants to play. But I heard a quote from Coach K. Coach K once said that he was against zone. All he played was man. But he said he got personnel one year that couldn't play man, so they had to play zone. So he said a great coach is about adjusting. Just because you have a style, you can't be so stubborn to say that's the only way you play. My point bringing up is talking to the coaching staff, they seem like ones that will adjust. So this is the way they want to play. But they don't. It doesn't seem like one of those, at least from my vantage point, that it's like, hey, if it's not working, I don't care. We're just going to do it. And if we're losing by 30 to 40 points a game, we're still going to do it. No, they're going to adjust. You saw that last year with Coach Wahlberg. He said they weren't able to play the style he wanted to play, so he adjusted. I think that's going to be the same kind of thing with Coach. But, yeah, that's going to be his style. You're going to see it for sure. I would imagine you're going to see it for sure the entire season as long as they stay healthy. If they stay healthy, they will. If they start getting a couple of players injured where you're not as deep, I think he'll change it a little bit. You'll see it in spots. But I think from the get-go, you're going to see it. Because honestly, that's the style he's been playing, and he's been very successful with it. You got to continue playing what you've been good at until someone shows they can beat you, and then you've got to adjust. If you keep playing the same way and continue to lose, that's just being stubborn. So, and I don't see that coaching staff being like that at all. But you've got to at least see if it's going to work and see if anyone can beat you and see how that goes. So, yeah, I think you'll see it all season long. They'll be up-tempo, and they'll be putting a lot of pressure defense. And I think it'll be fun for the fans.
Talking earlier about the quality of the Mountain West, it's been a good conference basketball-wise. It has not been, outside of San Diego State's very improbable run a couple of years ago to the national championship game, it hasn't been a conference that's had the kind of success in the postseason you'd like to see. That having been said, on the women's side, as we move out of the Mountain West this year into the pack, are the challenges going to be there on the women's side the way they're going to be on the men's side in the pack, in your opinion, Matt?
I think the pack on the women's side is a two-bid league, Tony. It's going to be a very good women's basketball conference. Oregon State, usually it's pretty good at women's basketball. Gonzaga, they've been very good in women's basketball over the years. And you start going through, you've got a Colorado State, you've got San Diego State, you've got Boise State. Hopefully Fresno State will be in that mix. I think it could be a two-bid league, but it's going to come down to non-conference scheduling for the schools in the pack to prove to the committee, because, you know, I hate saying this, but the committee does not care about mid-majors on the women's side. They only care about the big school. So they don't care if you go unbeaten and you have two losses your whole year, you lose in the tournament, they might not let you in, like with Colorado State a few years ago in the Mountain West. So Colorado State had to beat Fresno State in the championship game, and they only had one loss going in, I believe. And Fresno State was up in the fourth quarter, and Colorado State wins it. That's the only reason they got to the NCAA tournament, which is wild. UNLV gets a 10 seed after they rolled through the conference, and they blew out Oklahoma, and they blew out some others, and blew out University of Arizona. They just don't care about mid-majors. But I think they have a potential for a two-bid lead, though, in my opinion. The conference tournament winner, and possibly an at-large. But again, it's going to come down to non-conference scheduling, and the months of November and December will be very important for the schools in the pack, because you've got to beat some teams, and you need not just one. You don't need like a Gonzaga to beat somebody. You would need a Boise to beat someone, a Colorado State, a Fresno State. So just so that you can say, hey, we've got some depth, and if Gonzaga was to go and quote unquote stub their toe if they were the top team in the conference. People don't look at that as such a bad loss. They'll say, hey, they're playing in a good league. But yeah, women's basketball should be pretty good, though. It's not going to be at the level on the, as the men's side, but it's going to be very good. It'll definitely be a step up from the Mountain West. The Pack will be on women's basketball.
There's 1 year to go with the Mountain West, which begs the last couple of questions. Matt, I always appreciate the time again. As we get closer to basketball, Matt will be with me every week as we move through both women's basketball and softball and everything else going on the women's side of Fresno State. But right now, when you look at the roster that Vance has going forward, do you feel like the requisite shooting and talent is there this year to have the kind of turnaround that he needs and this program needs? What's your guess?
I think shooting will be better. Do they have enough shooting? That remains to be seen. That's probably the big question mark for me right now, especially with college basketball, Tony, and you know this, it's a lot in the NBA game too. You hate to say it's a make or miss league, but it's honestly 3-pointer layups league is what it is. And so you've got to be able to knock down shots. You can knock down shots, you're in a lot of games. You don't knock down shots, you can get blown out pretty easily. I think that's my biggest question mark. Do they have enough 3-point shooting? They've got good 3-point shooters, but come game time, will they have enough 3-point shooting? One thing we saw last season is Fresno State always played hard. I never felt like I was broadcasting a game or watching a game and they weren't playing hard. So that's always, you always say, hey, the coaching staff gets them ready to play hard. I always felt like they had a good scouting report going into the game. There wasn't anything I was watching where I'd say, man, kids just look like they don't know what's coming. Scouting's off. So I think they'll be prepared. I think they'll play hard. Do they have enough 3-point shooting is going to be my biggest thing. And then the second one is, do they have enough depth to get back to your point that we talked about earlier so that Coach Walver can actually play the style of play that he wants to play? If they have those two things, they'll definitely be better. Whether or not it'll be enough will be, what do you do in the final 4 minutes of a game? And that just comes down to playing in clutch. And I know I said this a couple of weeks ago, but it's true. November and December are so big for Fresno State men's basketball, I think, just to build confidence going into what will be a very good Mountain West Conference League. And if they can play well in November and December, they can have, I think, a decent conference season, and then see what happens in March.
Well, that's the thing. March has got to be outstanding for this team, and we'll see what they're able to do in the way of cohesion, continuity, and all the things that only come with playing time for the same individuals, and you just can't have injury as they've had before. You also can't have off-court distraction. All of that hopefully is in the rear view. We will find out about it when we get into November. Matt, I appreciate the time. I'll get back with you on air as soon as the schedule allows. And I wanted to ask you one other thing because it has come up, and it's a quick time right now to address this. Probably not enough time legitimately, but I do want to get your take on it. Football-wise, I've asked everybody, are you a guy who thinks we should retrofit Bulldog Stadium, or should we look to build a new stadium, understanding the cost issues, a little bit closer to SMC, that part of campus? What's your guess, or what's your feeling anyway?
What's my feeling, or what would I do? Those are two different questions.
I'm just saying, if you looked at things objectively from afar without the emotions involved, knowing the bottom line and other things, what would you recommend? Let's put it that way. What would be the most viable thing to do?
I'd recommend a new stadium, Tony, if I'm being honest. There's a lot of stadiums out there that just have more amenities and more things than Fresno State does. I think with us moving into the Pack and with where college sports is headed, it's already professional sports. I think a new stadium would bring a little bit more buzz and a little bit more excitement, and that's the route I would go rather than trying to just make some renovations to Bulldog Stadium.
You and I are in lockstep about that. Again, it comes down to the old Don Ohmeyer line again, right? No matter what the question is in sport, the answer is always the same: money. And that's what it's going to come down to. I think as Paul and I were talking the other day about this, you can find the land, although you are going to have to be very creative because you don't want to take more agricultural land away from that part of the university. I think you can find the land. I think you can make it multi-use. I think you can make it closer to SMC. I think you can do a lot of things if you can be creative enough with your financing and choosing the way you're going to go into debt to do this. I think it's doable, but I do realize the danger involved. But, Matt, I was here when they put the thing in the ground, and as I mentioned, it seemed like it was just yesterday. In reality, we have gone 45 years. So, you know what? That is not yesterday, is it?
Not even close, Tony. I'm sorry about that.
Yeah, well, it, for me, 45 years does seem like yesterday, but that's a different story that we don't need to hear. On that high note, Faizan, I'll let you go. Matt, I appreciate it. Have a great year, and I'll certainly be in touch, my friend. Take care.
Sounds good, Tony. Anytime.
All right. My great friend, Matt Norville, voice of your women's programs at Fresno State. All right, take a break, come back, tell you about the schedule. Hand it off to Phil, his outstanding show behind the bench at Fashion Furniture, as always, on a Thursday. Take a break. Boulder Hour continues on this Thursday on Central Valley Sports Leader 1430 ESPN. Buddy, welcome back to 50. About 5 minutes from the show. Hand it off to Phil, his outstanding show behind the bench, 3 to 6 today at Fashion Furniture with our good friend Rod Avedikian, best furniture on the planet. Great anniversary sale going on, by the way, there. El Paso, across from River Park. Stop on in, check out the furniture. Ask Phil a question directly or give him a call on the LeesAir.com hotline, which is 559-320-1430. Tell you all about the schedule in just a moment for both 1430 and 790, but I do want to mention right now, if you're headed home early from work or you're planning a 5 o'clock dinner or a late lunch right now, don't forget our good friends at the local KFCs in Fresno, Clovis, Selman, Kerman, proud sponsors of the Bulldog Bread Collective. And right now, the special $7 Phillips offer is underway. That means you can choose from crispy chicken, tasty tenders, or the classic famous bowl. Each come with drink, sides, and even sweet pie poppers. Also, you can top it all off with the new peaches and cream sweet lightning soda. Also, keep in mind, on Tuesdays, you still have the $10 eight-piece bucket offer. That's eight pieces dark meat chicken or the original recipe tenders. That's been going on for a good long while. So, excuse me, either way, the Tuesday offer or the $7 offer underway. Check it out at the KFCs. And if you stop in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman, tell them thanks for being part of the Bulldog Bread Collective, part of the solution to the monetary necessities that have come up now in collegiate sport to the extent I don't think any of us could possibly have dreamt even 10 years ago this would be the reality, but it is, and so we really appreciate folks like the KFC, a local operator, jumping aboard. Also want to thank people like Ed Dunkel and his great business, Precision Civil Engineering, also helping out Fresno State, and a very proud graduate at Lyles College of Engineering on campus at Fresno State. Anything you need in regard to planning, land surveying, civil engineering, landscape architecture, construction management, it's all there under one roof at Precision Civil Engineering, 449-4500 or precisioneng.net for more information. And again, Engineering Yardage, the terrific fundraiser Ed has for Fresno State football through the Lyles College of Engineering, right there for year number 5. For the last 4 years, every yard gained through the air has meant a donation to the Lyles College of Engineering by Precision Civil Engineering. We look forward to year number 5. The goal has been met beautifully for 4 years to unify athletics and academics to provide more funding resources to students at Fresno State. And Ed and the business allow us time to talk about the upcoming schedule. Baseball-wise, neither the Giants nor the A's will play later today. The Giants' travel day, it's a weird situation where they lost all six to the Mets and the Pirates at Oracle last week, and then they go to the same two venues and win 4 of 6. They're back home to play the Nationals, who have left D.C. along with the A's today, with the A's winning 3 of 4 because the A's have been in D.C. The Giants and the Nationals start a 3-game set at Oracle tomorrow evening. The A's head off to Baltimore. The A's win today 6-0. The A's have won 9 of 13 right now, but more importantly, the young talent they have on this team, Vegas is going to get a really good team, particularly if Fisher would get out of the way. Then again, if Fisher got out of the way, Joe Lacob would own the team right now, and they'd still be in Oakland. That's a story for another time. But Jacob Lopez today strikes out a career-high 10 7 2/3. The A's win 6-0. Colby Thomas hits his first major league homer, knocks in 3, and Tyler Soderstrom had another home run. And I bring this up because, of course, his dad, Steve, was an outstanding player at Fresno State, and even the Giant announcers were calling him Tyler Soderstrom the other day. Now, look, that name has been around Major League Baseball enough that particularly in the Bay Area, they ought to know how to pronounce it. All right, I know this. Dosco and everybody, they know how to pronounce it. And for the A's, they're playing better. We'll see what happens tomorrow. They have a 4:05 in Baltimore. As I mentioned, the Giants have a 7:15, I believe it is, tomorrow night at Oracle, the 1st of 3. Also, reminders about shows. Mentioned Phil's outstanding show, Behind the Bench, normally 3 to 6, Monday through Friday. Play-by-play moves around a little bit. Today, no problem. The full 3 hours at Fashion Furniture with our good friend Rod Avedikian. Again, best furniture on the planet. Stop by. See Phil. Ask him a question or two. El Paso across from River Park. We are with you at 2 o'clock each and every weekday. You can reach me, tdad1 at att.net, tdad, the number 1 at att.net. Also, Paul Metters, our buddy, back with his fine show, Central Valley Sports Report, live from First Green Sports. He's been on hiatus for the last couple of months over the summer, but he's back this Saturday, the 9th, 10 a.m. to noon, as always, for Central Valley Sports Report from First Ring Sports on 1430. Everything for the station, 1430ESPNFresno.com. That's where you'll find the live links and the podcast. Get the app, makes it a lot easier to listen. And then finally, again, critically important, the NIL monies, BulldogBread.com. Any sponsorship idea, any donation, Marcus McMarion wants to hear from you, BulldogBread.com. Bread as in on the table, B-R-E-A-D. com. Thanks again to Jorge for his usual great job. Thanks to Matt Norville for his time. Back to football tomorrow with our de facto co-host Jackson Moore. And always thank yous go out to the local KFCs in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman, to Ed Dunkel, Precision Civil Engineering, to Joe Cruz, Superior Pipe Stainless Supply, and to Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing. We will see you guys tomorrow. Stay tuned for Phil. Give him a call, Lee's Air Hotline, 559-320-1430. He'll be with you until 6 o'clock. This is KFIG Fresno.